What does it mean to truly exist? Not merely to breathe and move through life, but to fully inhabit your existence with awareness and purpose? Jennifer Anna Gossetti-Ferenczi's exploration of existentialism tackles this fundamental question with remarkable depth. Unlike traditional philosophy that begins with abstract systems, existentialism starts with you, a living, breathing individual facing the dizzying freedom of creating meaning in a universe without instructions. As Walt Whitman might say, you are here, that life exists, and identity, that the powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. The existentialist simply asks, what will your verse be? This philosophy refuses to separate thought from lived experience, embracing the messy, vital nature of human existence, where we don't simply have predetermined essences, but must define ourselves through choices and commitments. While often associated with cigarette-smoking French intellectuals and Parisian cafes, existentialism's roots reach much deeper. Its influences include Socrates' commitment to examined life, Augustine's introspective explorations, Shakespeare's probing of human consciousness, and surprisingly, African-American thinkers like W.E. Du Bois, whose 1903 concept of double consciousness predated Sartre's ideas on split consciousness by decades. The revolutionary upheavals of the late 18th and 19th centuries created fertile ground for existentialist thought. Kierkegaard launched existential philosophy as a critique of Hegel's systematic idealism, arguing that individual existence cannot be reduced to a paragraph in a system. Nietzsche's proclamation that God is dead identified not just religious skepticism, but a cultural crisis of meaning that offered both danger and opportunity, a void where humans must now create their own values. Who are you, really? Existentialists challenge the notion of self as a contained mental sphere, arguing instead that the self exists through dynamic relations with the world. We are always more than our particular manifestations, the ambitious professional transformed by parenthood, or the introvert discovering unexpected sociability in new circumstances. That disconnection you feel looking at old photos reflects the existential view that selfhood is always becoming, never completed. While existentialists affirm freedom, this isn't unlimited power, but situated freedom within constraints. Our embodied existence complicates the picture beyond Sartre's absolutely free consciousness. Anxiety illustrates this, manifesting not just as mental worry, but as physical tension, racing heart, and shallow breathing. The self extends through projects and perceptions, like feeling sunlight warming your being or losing yourself in music. Our identity emerges not from internal reflection alone, but through active participation in life's unfolding possibilities. Have you ever felt truly seen by another person? Or conversely, felt reduced to a mere object under someone's gaze? Others are essential to our existence, enabling physical survival and contributing to our full reality through mutual reality. Yet relationships present a paradox for existentialists. They're necessary for authentic selfhood while potentially threatening individual freedom. Fanon applies Hegelian dialectic to describe how the oppressed must struggle for acknowledgement of their worth under racist oppression. Despite exposing oppression's devastating effects, he maintains that mutual respect can break this destructive dynamic by restoring human reality to the other. Marcel challenges Sartre's view of relationships as ineluctable conflict, offering instead a philosophy of intersubjective engagement. Through concrete examples, a mother's care for her child, friendship's trust, lover's shared world, Marcel shows how authentic relationships transcend subject-object dynamics, creating communion rather than domination. From an existentialist perspective, the world isn't merely a collection of objects, but a lived phenomenon experienced from within. We extend toward the world through activities and interpretation, expressing our existence through projects that transform our environment. Heidegger's hammer example shows how our activity reveals implicit worldly relations. When using a hammer, we engage with an entire network of nails, wood, workshop, and potential users. Similarly, your smartphone isn't just a device, but a gateway to relationships, work, and information. We never encounter the world neutrally, but always find ourselves attuned in particular ways. A familiar street appears welcoming during joyful moments, but threatening when anxious. While science offers valuable knowledge, it cannot account for meaning. Modern technology, while connecting us globally, can paradoxically increase our isolation. As Camus notes, in a universe suddenly deprived of illusions and light, man feels a stranger, a sentiment especially resonant in our digital age, where unprecedented connectivity often coexists with profound disconnection. Have you ever felt the strangeness of everyday routines, repeating the same actions without questioning their purpose? Some existentialists depict the world as unpredictable or absurd, highlighting the contradiction between objective knowledge and human interpretation. Camus's myth of Sisyphus exemplifies this absurdity, endlessly rolling a boulder uphill only to watch it roll down again, mirroring our repetitive efforts in a seemingly purposeless existence. Existentialists don't surrender to nihilism. Despite his thesis of absurdity, Camus's descriptions overflow with sensuous glory. These scents of grass and stars at night, how shall I negate this world whose power and strength I feel? Marcel emphasizes the overflowing richness of reality as a kind of glory, while Rilke encourages acceptance. If it has terrors, they are our terrors. If it has abysses, these abysses belong to us. Our increasingly problematic relationship with nature prompted Nietzsche to implore followers to remain true to the earth, rejecting the idea that rationality makes us distinct from nature. Have you ever wondered who you really are beneath your roles? Existentialists reject the notion of finding oneself, as if an authentic self waits to be discovered. Instead, the self must be created through choices and actions. There is no buried inner self to uncover, only one we can become through our decisions. This distinction matters. Finding implies something pre-existing, while becoming acknowledges ongoing self-creation. For Sartre, there is no essential core behind our actions. We are our actions. We inhabit multiple roles that may be authentically embodied or not. Against Plato's rejection of multiple roles, Nietzsche celebrated donning masks, questioning whether any single essence exists beneath them. Like actors who don't merely pretend but creatively express perspectives, we might approach our roles not as inauthentic mimicry but as creative self-expression. In a world dominated by predictive algorithms and social media conformity, existentialism reminds us that our existence is ours to create. Authenticity comes not from discovering a hidden true self, but from consciously engaging with life's possibilities through meaningful choices. We are always becoming, constantly creating ourselves through our actions and relationships. The existential challenge calls for both courage to create meaning in uncertainty and humility to recognize our connection with others. Rather than despair at life's absurdity, we can find freedom in the absence of predetermined meaning. Your anxiety about big decisions reflects the weight of your freedom. Your relationships aren't mere connections, but mutual recognitions that shape who you become. In embracing this perspective, we don't find easy answers, but something more valuable, the awareness that through each choice, we are authoring our existence.